Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to An Axe to Grind. We have Trevor Gilmister, very fresh off Queensland's Game 3 win. We're here recording this the day after. It's about 1:45 in the afternoon, and Gilly, I reckon you probably stopped drinking about 1 p.m.?
Well, you said very fresh, but no, I'm not real fresh. But it was a great night, wasn't it? And we had a couple of beers back at the hotel afterwards and really enjoyed the night together, but I'm just so pleased to see Billy go off as a winner, mate.
Yeah, and I spoke to him this morning, and he actually revealed that he was in his kit all night.
Well, yeah, and Cameron Smith did the same thing last year, so he must have known something, Smithy. It might have been his last game. He didn't know that, but anyway, it's great to see and how much it means to him. They're so passionate about it, and they get very emotional when they talk about, you know, playing for Queensland. I know how much it means to the public, and I think the fan days they do, and when people, you know, drive 3 and 4 hours just to see them and turn around and go back, you know, it's a quite amazing thing to see, and I think it's great for the young fellas to see that, how much it means to the people of Queensland.
And Gilly, I'm not sure if you're aware, but some interesting photos emerged of you overnight.
I know where you're going.
Taking a slight tumble. Well, it was actually a major tumble on stage in front of thousands of people. You basically fell on your ass.
Well, I said to the boys as I'm going, I had to go come out of the sheds. And I give everyone a tip there, if they're listening, don't wear football boots on a stage. And when it's been drizzling rain a little bit, and I said to Gordon Tallis and Fatty, I said, I'm a fair chance of ending up on my ass here. And they said, no, you'll be right. And as I went up the stairs, I took it easy. And when I was coming back down, they said, oh, we need you all in a line. The boys were going pretty quick down the stairs. I was trying to take my time to get down the stairs. I knew what was going to happen, and sure enough, yep, I end up on my back, mate. But anyway, that's life. And, if that's the worst thing that happens, Chris, mate, I'm not too bad.
Well, you made basically a career out of it, didn't you?
What, sitting on my ass? Yeah.
No, probably more so putting others on there, as I guess is the real point. Let's just get through to, I guess, the biggest issue to emerge out of this, and it is rugby league, and rugby league types always like to argue and debate. I'm one of them, and the debate today is, did Billy Slater deserve to win Wally Lewis Man of the Series, the Wally Lewis Medal, as the best player in the series when Queensland lost the series and New South Wales had several great players themselves. Look, personally, I don't think he was the best player in this series, but he was the best player for Queensland in this series. And I think the issue isn't necessarily with Billy winning. I think the issue is with the formality of how they do it, of how they pick the player, and that is the Australian selectors Mel Meninga, Laurie Daly. Oh, Darren Lockyer is the third one. Yeah, so in a way you can understand, right? Game 2 and Game 3, Billy was Queensland's best player. He's going to rack up a lot of fours and threes there, whereas New South Wales had several good players. I would have gone for Damien Cook. I thought he was the best player in the series. Yeah. What about you?
Well, see, myself and Elf spoke about this after the game, and we've been struggling to come up with our best player for Queensland, you know, first two games, we all said Tedesco was probably the best player in the first game, no doubt about that for mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there was, I think it was the second and third game. It was probably about 10 blokes you could have picked, you know, to actually win the game, or you know, win the player of the game. I'm not going to dispute those blokes. They were better players than I was. So I mean, I'm not going to, you know, have any dramas of what they picked. But I think it was that this whole series was a bit of a, you could pick, you know, honestly, And I don't go by the papers or anything like that, but you just see sometimes they do these ratings or whatever, and I can't remember who got what, but... And I don't agree with their ratings sometimes and stuff like that.
I've done the ratings before, and I look at it the next day of what I rated. I don't even agree with myself. So
yeah, well, exactly right. So I'm just saying it's a matter of opinion. You know what I mean? Like, so, mate, I've got no problems with it. You know, and we've seen the Clive Churchill Medal given in grand finals. My best player was such and such. You know, and he doesn't even rate a mention, you know what I mean? So it's just a matter of opinion, mate. So, you know, people are going to have an opinion, and especially nowadays, mate, everyone's got an opinion, haven't they, on social media?
Oh, exactly right, and they were ripping in on social media. But Cherry Evans won a Clive Churchill in a losing team. I remember that.
Brad McKay actually won, when we won the grand final, I think it was 1993 we won the grand final against St George, and Brad McKay got the Clive Churchill medal. So, mate, I've got no problems with it. It's, you know, it's not the player's fault, you know, that someone's picked them. So, and people will say they're, they got, like, you know, the Queensland blokes are looking more in the Queensland. Mate, Mel Meninga's the Australian coach, mate. He's a Queenslander, no doubt about that. But he's impartial, mate, from my point of view.
And anyone who knows Mal would never question his integrity. That's one thing. Same with Lockie and Laurie Daly, I'm sure.
And the story, mate, yeah.
And the issue there for me, though, is I just don't know if I agree with how they judge it. I just think rather than have a 4-3-2-1 every game, why don't they just get together at the end of the series and go, who was the best player?
Yeah. Well, see, when I hear that they're not allowed to talk, I don't agree with that, because they should be able to confer with each other and say, well, you know, there's one point in this game, and you say Chris says, "Oh, what about the good, you know, some of the great runs by Damien Cook, and you know, the first game, blah blah blah, and his defence, he's done so many tackles or whatever like that," and you go, "Oh, actually, yeah, he's gone better than I thought." You know what I mean? So anyway, but that's, as I said, opinions, mate. So good luck to him, whoever wins it.
Mate, let's talk about Daly Cherry Evans. I spoke to him this morning as well at the hotel. You know, he has copped a lot. I actually said to him, I said, did you sort of sit down last night and have a beer and just think, wow, what about my year? Because look at all the stuff that he's been through, all the accusations, all the drama. It was only a few weeks ago that an ex-teammate, Anthony Watmow, basically said that he was an asshole and he didn't want to play with him. And you know, for a long time, the word was, and we all heard it, that players in Queensland team didn't like him and didn't want him back. And yet last night he puts on a performance like that. His kicking was unbelievable. His game management was fantastic. I saw him there at halftime really getting into the guys and directing them, as leadership. What's he been like? Take us inside, I guess, what Cherry Evans has been with this team.
Well, see, I couldn't work out where it was all coming from. Mate, Daly is one of the most loveliest blokes I've ever met. He's a pleasure to coach, very easy to coach, loves to get a bit of feedback, and obviously working hard on his game. So, I don't know where it's all come from, to be honest. Someone's had a bee in their bonnet over him for some reason. And some people say, the backflip and, on the Gold Coast. But, I mean, 20, 30 players have done the same thing and never copped the same criticism he's copped. So I just can't work it out myself. But, mate, he's had a... You could see him as the week evolved. He was getting more and more confident. And him and Cameron Munster obviously haven't played together before. So they were starting to gel, and get a bit more of a combination. You could see the confidence building between those two blokes. And obviously Billy as well. And I just thought I could see it coming. And if they had even had another week or two together, mate, they'd improve again another 10-20%, no doubt about that. So I love working with him. He's easy working with, and I think the best thing about him, as I said before, mate, he's such a humble fella. He's not out there type of character. Well, you've got a completely different bloke in Cameron Munster, who loves a laugh and a giggle, and he puts a bit of crap on you and we put back on him. And you need people like that. You need different characters in your team, you know what I mean? And it's like life in general. If we're all the same, it'd be boring, wouldn't it? You know what I mean?
Oh, so, exactly.
I love him, mate. He's a great fellow, easy to work with.
I've never seen someone's eyes light up more than Cameron Munster's when I mentioned I'd just gotten back from Las Vegas. Which I think says a lot about Cameron Munster. Because even Alf aren't allowed together, are they? That could be trouble.
Well, mate, they do. And if you're in the vicinity, mate, you're in for a hard time because they will take the crap out of you like you wouldn't believe. And they're just both shit stirrers. And, mate, I love Cameron. He cops a little bit of crap as well. But he's just he's an old-school footy player, really, for a young bloke. You know, he should have been playing, you know, in the 80s, to be honest. You know, I mean, he likes a beer and he likes a good time. But he's passionate about his football, and that's what I love about him. And he was so down on himself throwing that intercept, you know, obviously for, you know, Tommy Turbo's try. Mate, he was dead set gutted when he came into the sheds at half time, and actually a few of us had to go and talk to him because he was kind of unconsolable, you know, because he thought he lost the game for us, you know what I mean? So, but it was so good of him to be able to turn his game around and work hard with and get himself back together mentally, you know, to play a superb, you know, second half, I thought.
Yeah, well, his run, you know, he stepped Clemmer, then offloaded, passed inside to Gavin Cooper, who passed inside to Daly Cherry Evans. And that's what we've been waiting to see from Cameron, is that running. That's his best part of his game. And it's interesting that it was Cherry Evans who seemed to unlock that in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. And I heard Daly saying to him, he said, mate, don't be afraid to overcall me or run the ball if you want to run it. And we've all said to Cameron, mate, when in doubt, run. And that's your biggest strength, you know what I mean? So he is, you know, super player, and he's still finding his way in the Origin arena, no doubt about that. Trying to find out, you know, when to run and, you know, when to pass, and you know, he's a different style of player to say like a Darren Lockyer, you know, completely different, obviously, to, you know, like a JT, but he's more of a runner of the ball, as you just said, and we're a better teammate when he's running the footy.
Yeah, and I just want to talk a little bit about how, you know, the Blues throughout this whole series, and Fittler hasn't come out and said it, but, and I like Freddie, but he's hinted a few times, and so have players, that basically they feel as though they have a really deep talent pool right now that can build upon success. He hasn't said the word dynasty, but, you know, that's what they want to do. But you look at this Queensland team, really good performance last night, not perfect, but then you've also got Michael Morgan to come back, Greg Inglis to come back, Kalen Ponga to come back. So you put those three players somewhere in this team, and Queensland's really got a good side to carry for the future.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, exactly. And there's no doubt, mate. They have more to pick from, don't they? And that's a fact. They always have. The problem is for Queensland, if we get two or three injuries in one position, we're struggling a little bit for a bit more talent. You know what I mean? So for mine, as I've mentioned it before, front row is a bit of an issue for us when we get a couple of injuries. And I thought Joy Arrow and Josh Papali, you know, kind of makeshift front rowers, really, to be honest, did a great job for us in the first 20-odd minutes. So you got Dylan Napa to come back there as well, and there's a couple other younger blokes coming through. But, yeah, I mean, but they've got a stockpile of talent at the moment in New South Wales, but they've always had, mate. You know, so, I mean, in the 80s, if you went on paper, we shouldn't have won a game, should we?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that's what we love about Origin, and that's why the Queenslanders always respond to the challenge, mate. And nothing better than beating them when you say, you know, well, they say you can't win.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And that's it. And I'll look at a guy like Jaden Sewer. I think he'll get a gig sometime next year. David Fifita at the Broncos as well. They're back rowers, though, I guess. There still is that dearth of props coming through. But they'll emerge. Patrick Carrigan, he's a good young Bronco.
There's a few young blokes, but there's no Matt Scotts at the moment, is there? You know, I mean,
no.
he was the best front row in the game for 10, 12 years, Scotty. You know, and love working with him. You knew what you're going to get with him every time for Queensland and Australia. And I remember going over in the Four Nations 2 years ago over to the UK, and Aaron Woods and Clemmer, David Clemmer, said to me, "Gilly, didn't realise how bloody good Matt Scott is. You know, when you play with him, he just helps you out so much on the field. He organises blokes around him in the ruck, you know." And he said, "Mate, geez, he's good." You know, I mean, I said, "Yeah, well, there you go." And that's coming from blokes he plays against every week, and they're the best comments you can get from your teammates and the blokes you play against. Who cares what they write in the paper? Because, you know, a lot of them blokes, you know, they don't know what's going on around the field and around the team. You know what I mean? So, it's an issue, but as I said, we're pretty confident we'll be able to cover it down the track.
I thought, moving forward, one of the other interesting points last night was Andrew McCulloch not getting on again with Ben Hunt doing so well at hooker.
Yeah.
What do you think there? It seems to me there's a real chance that moving forward, Ben Hunt is Queensland's hooker.
Well, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I was really happy for Macca the first game. He got better in the second game as well. But Benny did I think we got to a point where Benny was playing so good that he didn't need to come off, you know what I mean? So that's not a bad thing for Queensland, is it? You know,
no.
When you've got a bloke playing that good, you can't really take him off. And that's what the players need to do to be able to say, "Mate, geez, I can't take this bloke off because he's playing too good." That's a great headache for a coach, isn't it?
Oh, exactly. And on the coach, how was Kevy last night? Because he's been, cranky is probably a good word.
I agree with you.
He's been intense, and I understand that he got a couple of the ex-Origin guys, into camp early in the week and basically out on a team dinner with you and sort of said, "Hey, to these guys, don't be afraid to actually have a word to these players about what it takes to win Origin and don't be afraid to criticise them and tell them that we expect to win and losing isn't good enough." So what was Kevy like last night after the game?
Yeah, after the game, like, you could tell it was relief. He was a bit cranky at halftime because obviously it's a bit of a weird game. Myself and Alfred, we got the best seats in the house, you know, sitting there on the field, and when you can see what's going on, you can basically see the emotions on the blokes' faces and everything like that. And it was a weird first half, especially. I thought we were the better team for 35 minutes, you know, and all of a sudden we're down at half time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I thought New South Wales were the better the team for the first 20 minutes in the second half, and we were in front, you know what I mean? So we scored, you know. So yeah, it was a weird game, but it was an unbelievable game to be a part of. So yeah, Kevy was a bit, you could see the relief of, you know, off his face after the game, and to see the, I'm so happy for him because people didn't say his job was on the line, but he would have thought that basically. You know, he did, and he did speak before the game about not letting all these people down here. They've all come to watch Queensland win. You know, a lot of coaches don't talk about winning and losing nowadays. They talk about the process and all that type of thing.
Mm.
But mate, deep down, you know if you're winning or losing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to avoid, isn't it? You know what I mean? So. And mate, for a dead rubber, mate, how good was the atmosphere? It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's the best atmosphere, you know, I've seen for a long time.
It was a great game of rugby league. Just on that, one of the things that always perplexes me about rugby league, and look, when I was playing at a very low level, I did it myself, but just like you're in the first half and you see players yelling out, one set to go. No, there's a lot of sets to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, I know it's one of those process things you do, but it just always perplexes me.
Yeah, no, you're right, but that's what I talk about, little steps and processes. And we did say something similar ourselves, you know, complete our first five sets. And we said, New South Wales has been fantastic. We've completed it just over 80%. I don't know what it was last night, but it was really good in the first half. But the first two games, first game we were down a little bit. But and New South Wales had been over 90% in the first two games.
Wow.
So that's very, very good. I mean, so you couldn't, you know. They've been superb, over the series, and we just were a smidgen off in the second game. So obviously that made the difference in the series. But I was rapt to see that our composure. And you mentioned it before with Daly, our end of our sets were that much better.
Yeah.
Repeat sets, and I think the repeat sets that Daly provided and a few of the boys with their good kicks in the first half took its toll on New South Wales at the end of the game. So people don't think about that. They think, oh, you know, one run, one tackle. But that's what it's about, because the and they talk about processes and things like that, but that's what happens at the end of the game. They get tired and they just don't turn up where they should turn up, and all of a sudden you score. I mean, that was from what happened in the first half. So people don't see that. They think about what goes on immediately. But, that's what it's all about. As I said, it was a bit of a strange old game for a while, and then I was so pleased for them when, especially the last, you know, 7-8 minutes, you know, defended their backsides off, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I've got to say, I was worried when Damien Cook set up that try and I saw Josh Maguire and Jared Wallace basically get in a finger-pointing, slanging match with each other about whose responsibility it was. So for them to then go in at half-time, whatever Kevy said must have been good, because I was concerned mentally if they were in it. They, you know, as you said, having exerted all that pressure to then be trailing at half-time. But whatever Kevy said, and it's a great testament to the players and to Kevy and yourself to turn them around and win that second half.
Well, when Addo Carr did that big run down the sideline, obviously passed in Tommy Turbo, and I thought, oh, geez, we're under the pump here now. And all of a sudden they got back there and they just defended their backsides off, you know, for the next 3, 4, 5 minutes, you know, which was fantastic. So, yeah, it was one of those games, wasn't it? It was just who would have thought it was supposedly a dead rubber? Then goes to show you, everyone should shut their mouth and just say there's no such thing as a dead rubber in Origin footy.
No, there isn't. And last night was great. Let's go on to the NRL this week and get your tips, mate. Friday night, we have Panthers versus the Sharks. I don't think we can't really talk about who's in or out of Origin. We just don't know yet. So
right.
Panthers, Sharks, who do you think gets the chocolates there?
Yeah, I think pretty tough game, this one. Depending on, as you're saying, who backs up for Penrith, especially the halves. But, I've got to think of, I'm thinking Penrith maybe.
Well, they're at home, so that's a big advantage for them.
Yeah.
Knights versus the Eels. Knights will have Mitchell Pearce back, and that's great to see for Mitchell to come back and the Knights. There's still a very small chance of making the eight. They'd basically have to win, I'd say.
Yeah, the Eels have been very disappointing, haven't they, this year? So I'd have to go the Knights in that one.
The Bulldogs and the Rabbitohs, again, I spoke to Greg Inglis this morning. He's definitely not playing. Bulldogs have been also disappointing this year. Who are you tipping there?
Yeah, I have to go to the Rabbitohs. I think, obviously, Anthony Seibold's got them firing, mate, very well. So, got to go the Rabbitohs in that one.
Yeah, he's a bloody good coach, isn't he, Anthony?
Yeah, he's doing well, mate. Yeah, doing well.
Don't
put the mock on him, Chris.
I'm gonna toss his name up for Wayne Bennett's job in a couple of weeks, I reckon.
Oh, okay.
I reckon he's a chance.
You know something, do you? You've heard something?
No, there's a little bit of word around the trap. What I have heard is that Wayne does want to actually have a formal transition period. That's his proposal.
Just on that, I spoke to Elf. I can't believe all the hoopla about he's still got another year to run his contract. So what do people nowadays need a 4 or 5 year contract? I mean, fair dinkum, that's all the managers doing all that type of work as well. But mate, he's got another year to run on his contract. Let's wait halfway during next year, and then he can sort it out then. Anyway. So.
Yeah, well, Wayne and Paul White both feel like this issue, and look, I'm to blame, media to blame, that us in the media will be making too much of this issue and we'll be making more of it and more of it, and they want to get it sorted now. And we, you know, it will drag on. Because it's Wayne Bennett, for better or worse, is the face of the Broncos. And when his future's up, I mean, he's known as the club, really. When his future's up, it's a big issue. And so I understand what they're saying. And for what I understand, Wayne Bennett wants to know too. He wants to know, where do I stand at this club? And I think we'll see some sort of announcement pretty soon on a formal transition period into post-Wayne Bennett life. And I think they'll be looking at Greeny. They'll be looking at Seibold. They should be looking at Kevy.
Well, Paul Green's just re-sign with the Cowboys, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. So does Wayne Bennett sign on for, say, 2 more years and then they go for Green? Does Wayne Bennett do an extension and they announce at the same time that they're going to move on after that, that'll be
it? Well, he's got a contract for next year, so, I mean, you worry about it next year, wouldn't you?
The thing is, we'll keep making it such a big issue, though. That's what they think. And I sort of agree is that, look, we will be talking about this. We're talking about it now. And Wayne believes it has been a distraction for the players. So he wants to get it sorted. He wants to say, hey, let's actually call time on my career, but I want to be involved in the process to say how my career ends rather than the club. The Craig Bellamy leak, they were so filthy, and it really was. It did hurt the club a fair bit. That word coming out, they should have expected it. It's rugby league; things come out. That's what they want to avoid. I think they want to move forward and have a real plan in place as to how the club moves forward with or without Wayne Bennett.
Well, as a player, mate, Wayne Bennett's coaching next year. If I'm playing at the Broncos, I don't have any hesitation of playing footy. I mean, I know he's coaching next year, so that's not going to affect me this year or even next year. I wouldn't even think twice about it if I was a player. I think that's a fair thing myself.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're right. And that's the thing that us in the media don't get is what the players do and don't care about.
Couldn't give two flying, you know what.
we'll move on to the remaining games. Raiders in Canberra face the Cowboys, who are in danger of finishing with the wooden spoon.
North Queensland haven't ever got a bad record down there either. So I was talking to Michael Morgan. He's not going down. So obviously he's not playing for the rest of the year by the sound of it. So he's glad he's not going down. I shouldn't give him up, but that's what he said to me. I don't know. You've got to go to Canberra just because it's going to be freezing cold this time of year, and the Queenslanders don't like the cold too much, so I never did too much. Actually, the Broncos didn't have a very good record in the middle of winter down there in Canberra either, so, I'd probably have to go to the Raiders.
Yeah, Brisbane's biggest loss ever, I'm pretty sure, is in Canberra.
Yeah.
2009, I think. The other game on Sunday is Broncos versus the Warriors at Suncorp.
Yeah, this will be a good game, this.
Yeah,
obviously a lot of following for the Warriors here in Queensland as well with the New Zealand fans. So, I'll go the Broncos, but I think it'll be a pretty close game.
We have the Dragons versus the West Tigers also on Sunday.
Yeah, got to get the Dragons there. I mean, just depending on how, as you're saying, their Origin contingent backs up. So, I think the Dragons.
And finally, a rare Sunday night game, the Titans at Robina against the Roosters.
Yeah, the Titans will go okay here, but I think the Roosters have too much firepower for them, especially out wide. Depending on Jared Wallace and Joy Arrow and how they back up, they should be okay by the sound of it. So, I'll probably got to go to the Roosters there.
Well, thank you for your time again, Gilly, mate. Have some Barocca and nurse that hangover. I'm sure that is about to come.
So, where's you, buddy?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.